It's time to address the thorny or difficult issue of the alarm question answering methodology for teaching students. You teach students this methodology, and if they know something, they'll get maximum marks, or at least that's the theory. Now, it's a thorny topic because there's sort of two expectations in my teaching profession. I'm expected to go with the company corporate line, that this is fantastic, this is the greatest thing that's come out, and it's endorsed by various other teachers in the teacher world. That's one aspect. And then where I'm torn is as a scientist. Now, from the teacher's perspective, a scientist is just one of those killjoy skeptics. But part of skepticism, there's sort of a name of skepticism, a thought, and if it works, we'll go for it. So it's basically when you're wiring up a circuit, you just don't throw the wires in and just hope it works. You're skeptical of everything. You test everything and compare it with the literature, and at the end of the day, you hand someone a working circuit. So skepticism is just part of the mix coming in. But if you've got your heart set on an idea, and people ask, what's the origin of it all, and have there been control studies, can you show that to me, and they can't, there's sort of like that, you feel as though you're trying to have proven you're wrong. No, you just require it, because indeed there is answering methodologies, and you do want to teach, go in there and teach students a method of answering questions, so at least they can see the same steps every time. So let's look at the alarm method. So the alarm method was discovered, stumbled upon by a teacher at the Freshwater High School, senior high school campus. And the legend goes, he's he originally from the US, Hark's from the US. His name is Max Woods. And I've watched a video of him as he's described his origin story from coming from some sort of area in California when there was a teacher glut, and came out to Australia and was loved ever since. But he came along and discovered this technique, and he's applied his technique to his class from 1 year, because the class just knew the information but they didn't know how to structure. And so this is an information structuring thing. If you actually fill in this chart, you lo and behold have a high marking question. And it's sort of an understanding, I suppose at the base of it, is something called the Bloom's taxonomy. Now, there's actual fact three taxonomies, Bloom. So what happened? Let's talk about Bloom. Bloom is an educational psychologist advising the US at the time when they had a sudden jolt in the arm of the Soviets put up a satellite, the Sputnik, and the US Congress just couldn't tolerate it and had inquiries, and they got a US, I suppose I might be wrong, military trainer, and he made the presentation to Congress and wrote up his original papers. Now, unfortunately, being a scientist, not a teacher, I've read those original papers and gone through. And originally, he said that there's a structure to learning, and we've got to start at the base and build up, a bit like your military soldiers. You first day, you teach them to walk around in circles and salute and stuff like that, and eventually you get them to operate big weapon systems and make critical battlefield decisions. So that sort of made a sense. And so he said what we call a taxonomy, or a graded ladder. So at the base of Bloom's idea was that you have these three basic ladders, and I have a criticism of it on many levels, but you're never allowed to criticize it. However, he said there's three domains. Cognitive domain, that's the bookwork. The psychomotor domain, that is your ability to play baseball, throw hand grenades and stuff like that. and the effective domain to actually contemplate the act of using your knowledge to throw a grenade, you know, what's going on. And all these basic things go in a hierarchy. Now, there's Maslow, which had a hierarchy of needs, and basically, if you don't have the bottom layer, you need the next layer up, which is the basic thing of a hierarchy. Now, it's, I suppose I would say, as a scientist, cognitive bias all the time. You're proposing a hierarchy, it gives you a hierarchy glasses, and you tend to explain everything in this terms. But this sort of made sense. So you would perhaps, the preschool, not get them to actually critique and evaluate something. You might get them to just identify, is that a square or a triangle? And then later on you'd say, get them to describe a triangle, and you'd build up this arc. So the point I want to make is that there are three domains, but most people only know the one domain, because somehow, because it's everything is pass one person to the other. It's you pick it up from training courses, and training courses are trained from training courses. You get this funneling of information, and so you've got the Maslow's. That's not the Maslow's. The Bloom's taxonomy, and the Bloom's taxonomy starts at the very base. This is a cognitive stuff, and not necessarily what the people can do, but what you ask. If you ask, is directed at levels of that taxonomy. And the first level is identify, and above is describe, then explain or analyze, just functionally analyze, then critically analyze, and then evaluate. It's many, many different levels here. I'm just reading, these are the levels which feed into the alarm method. This person came up with, if we actually get our students to write into this method, the questions are written by this Bloom's taxonomy, so the educational world runs on this DNA, but so if we can actually get the students to actually assemble their information to follow this DNA, molecular structure of thinking, of education, it can really go. And of course, all teachers have been taught in the New South Wales system this Bloom's taxonomy. Now, why I mention this is that it's claimed to be a global phenomenon. The alarm that Bloom's may be global, but it's also claimed that it's a global phenomenon. Then when you search it, it's something which only turns up at New South Wales websites, and the actual everything, all the literature has been written by high schools. So it might be a smaller phenomenon. At this point, I want to break and say, other people who have been in situations where they're tortured, that they're quite literally tortured going in. And I want to, there's lots of examples that I can go back where there's a dominant paradigm in a group. I'd like to go back to Lysenko, a Russian agronomist, a agriculture dude, and he came up with an idea that he didn't like genetics, he liked Lamarck, that is, that if I want to modify a seed, I just get one group of seeds and freeze it and add water to it and get it ready for summer, or for a particular crop growing. I put a plant in the ground once and the crop is allegedly better, and then after that all seeds from that plant will remember the experiment you did on it. And of course this sounds crazy, but that was the only idea allowed, and you weren't allowed to criticize it. And so if you were a geneticist, you'd be a lousy fly lover, because geneticists seem to use particular flies which showed their traits and were a rapid breeding cycle, so you could do some genetics quite easily, and the rest of the world settled on using flies. So geneticists were associated with little fruit flies, and you could just rubbish them. And if a geneticist said, oh look, where's your evidence, you know, what are you doing here? You know, is there any evidence for what you're saying? They'd go off to the gulag or be executed or taken away at night. I'm not joking. And people who wanted to get promoted really quickly would say, look, I don't know anything, but I love this theory. And they'd be get a position in one of the research laboratories. And, of course, once they're in, they would, and someone came along proposing genetics, that would actually threaten them, because that's the only thing that they only knew, the Lamarck theory, and genetics, if it worked, would be dreadful. And so this is pretty much the situation here. We've got alarm. It's not that they've deliberately come up, it's come up, but the actual studies, the sort of like international studies, university studies, the controls, the entire theory of it is not set up in papers which you can access. However, it's presented online to our HSC cohort as smash the HSC, and it's a process which spans all disciplines. It can be actually modified to work equally well for dance as it is for English, as it is for physics. And so let's go into what a alarm is. Bear in mind, I'll tell a little story here. Alarm is alarm. It's an acronym. That is, a letter stands for a particular word. And generally, when you have an acronym, you don't have a preposition or a conjunction. Like, you generally don't have the and a in an acronym, so you don't say TLA, three letter acronym. You don't say TTAL, I mean the three letter acronym, or LA, I mean A three, it's just TLA. But for alarm, it stands for A, learning and response matrix. And one of the strangest things is that if your matrix is like, all right, or what's the space? What's the two spaces? Is it some sort of table? No. In fact, it's not a table. So it's I've told the story before, you have this sort of shrugging the shoulders. I remember going into a circus, a local circus, and they had an act there where these two motorcycle riders rode inside this wire sphere, the inside of the wire sphere. So this sphere was about 5 meters across and high, and so they would cycle and bits and miss each other and just cycle all around each other. This little two-stroke motors coming out, I don't know how they did it, really smell and stink in there. And they called it the death-defying dome of death. And that hit me, because how could it be a dome of death if it's death-defying? I said, that's okay. But also, it wasn't a dome, it was a sphere. So it really should be death-defying sphere of death. So here, the alarm method, one of the most interesting things is that it's not a matrix. Now, of course, if you say it's not a matrix, you know, don't be stupid. You know, sort of come along with it. So far I've never actually seen it made up into a matrix area. The idea is that you see a question and you don't answer the question directly. You start to ask questions about the questions and answer your questions that you have for the question. So the first thing you do when you see a question, you say, identify what the main concept of the question is. And you write that down, what the main concept is, and then you describe what are the features and characteristics. So this is what we've had, is we've had the Bloom taxonomy and then a breakup of what you do in the Bloom's taxonomy. And so I have here what looks like a matrix, where if the questions used to be clued New South Wales, so they would give a certain amount of information and the key word, and the key word would then be code to what level you have to go to. So if you had to explain something, you had to, what says here, what is the functional purpose, what is the effect of the component, give evidence, why may need to be addressed, explain. And so I obviously have another way of going through it. And then this chart here, I want to say what school it is because I'll get slandered for it. But they have a sort of a stepwise thing, the closest thing I've actually ever seen to a matrix associated with it, given a table at least. They have for evaluate, they expect you to go through the various steps here. For evaluate, you firstly say, what is the main component? What are the features and characteristics? What is the functional purpose? What is the effect of the component? Give evidence why may be need to be addressed. And then you have to say, what is the impact? And what is the effect of the impact? And so... if you may say, look, evaluate, I suppose, the role of the AC generator in the distribution of electricity, in this particular answer, you would say, you'd go, what's the main concept? This is what the generator is. Then you describe how a generator works, and then... you can see how you can unpack an explanation. And what they do say here is, as you work through this technique, it's a very good technique of teasing out all the information. It's a very good diagnostic technique. And at a certain point, you will start to accrue marks as you got up towards the evaluation. That's an overall technique. Now, has it been tried with a cohort, or has it been tried in a... it has been tried anecdotally, but has it been tried in control conditions? Is there psychometric reasoning for how it works, and is it the optimal? And the answer is, yes, it is an improvement. So students who were not trained at all to think or produce... A coherent answer. This, by following this technique, they came from a very low level to a moderately high level. By following this, they eventually began writing letters, writing sentences, and then they hit their mark. And so, I suppose what I could see this value in it as a training process, but when you hit an exam, you want to be able to collapse and move. Some of these processes around. So that's the ALARM method, and it's claimed to be a global method going throughout the world. You know, it's supposed to be a worldwide success. And then, of course, with ALARM, there's been modifications to it, where they have defined, describe, explain, analyze, conceptualize, appreciate, and evaluate. These are various things that they do. And this is, again, because there's a hidden code between the word, the verb used, to the how you process it up, break it up, and there's a hidden word that you get marks if you mention the concept of the course. This is a long movement from the other research-based, structured observation of learning outcomes, which has been developed by universities. They're really in two different universes. But what it means effectively is that if you're a skeptic or a scientist saying, oh, where are the studies for it? Does it improve uniformly, or does it improve very poor to moderate students? Or if you've got a moderate student, is this the most effective thing to teach it? There's simply not the papers and reviews and a modelling of why it should be particularly effective. So if it's like one good lab result, one improvement in laboratory science thing does not a theory or a methodology makes. Yet I suppose the comment we have is that we have a very Lysenko Soviet era method of doing it, and there's many examples of theories which have got involved in a political promotion, which are then very difficult to extract when you start to have theory equal to the linked to the promotion. Means that it gets really embedded in as a core belief of a group, a political faction. It becomes, and I think this is probably, perhaps, if we could solve trying to move forward from the alarm method, we could solve a whole lot of human problems where people get committed to a solution, and their commitment to the solution means they've made certain decisions, and you get basic cognitive bias in how you actually process the outcomes of the solution and how you process anyone who would have I think the term we scientists have for it is learned ignorance about it, to say, well, where is the clinical evidence that this definitely is worthwhile to teach? Thanks for listening. Keep on thinking, doing, and teaching science.